So she's going to sing right now. One of the things about Gloria, Gloria loved music. And she talked to me about joining the choir. She wanted to get involved in the choir. And she said, Pastor, I'm going to join the choir. And I said, well, amen, sister. We're looking forward to you joining. But she's in a heavenly choir now, singing with the angels. And she can sing for all eternity. And we're excited for Gloria. Amazing Grace is the song that Mrs. Dawson is going to sing. And then the family has put together a DVD of some photos and a song that their mother loved. And so we'll have those things to come next. Privilege this morning, or this afternoon, I should say, to say a few words from the Word of God in regards to Gloria's life. I chose the passage of Scripture that happened to be open when the children came into her home, and that passage was Psalm 116 and verse number 15, the same passage that we read earlier. And my goal is to share some words of comfort and encouragement for the family, be a blessing. But at the same time, it's an invitation to you as well. Gloria has made a decision to trust Christ already, as demonstrated by what her brother George said. And now I believe that Gloria would say the same thing for you. My time has come and my time is gone. I'm forevermore with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's your turn to make a decision for Christ. And I am trusting that if you've not made a decision to trust Christ, that today would be that time that you would trust an all-knowing, loving, living God who has died for you, was buried, and rose again the third day. Psalm 116 and verse 15 reads, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Father, bless the next few moments that we have together. Pray that it might be an encouragement to those that are here. They might sense their need for Christ, if they are without Christ. But those that have Christ, Lord, would understand that there is coming a day when our appointment will need to be met. And I trust that the reservations that we have are already in, and we've made things right. God, thank you so much for loving us. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this afternoon, we've come to remember the life of Gloria Miller and be an encouragement to the family. The passage of Scripture that I've chosen, as I said, was open when the Gloria's children came. And it happened to be the same passage that I read when I came to the hospital to visit with them. And they kind of looked one at another. And I believe it was Ray and Pam and Vaughn kind of looked at each other like, hey, that was open at Mom's house. And I believe that Gloria had some kind of indication that her time was approaching close. And I believe that God had given her some sort of revelation that perhaps maybe the time was drawing close, that she would see her Father in heaven and she'd see her Redeemer. And I am convinced that she was ready for that time before she joined this church. Of course, you have to give a personal testimony of receiving Christ. And she gave me a similar testimony to the one that George mentioned about receiving Christ years ago. And I'm so glad that she did. I'm glad that she had a brother burdened about her to come to her and share the gospel with her. Never get tired of sharing the gospel with your family members. You say they might reject it. They might not receive it. That's beside the point. They still need to hear that God loves them and Jesus died for them and was buried and risen again the third day for them. And so never get tired of talking to family members. I want us to consider, first of all, this one word, precious, before we look at anything else. And the word precious means valuable, costly, excellent, or honorable. I believe that valuable because Gloria was one of Jesus Christ's saints. It says precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And I believe that she's valuable because she belonged to him. Not only does it mean valuable, it means costly. And I believe it was a great influence that is gone because now Gloria is gone from this planet. And so it was costly for this earth to lose her and her influence, costly to her children, costly to her brother, costly to other loved ones. And so precious means valuable, costly. It also means excellent. And I believe a great person is gained in heaven as a result. So God looks down and says, you know, that's excellent. I want you up here with me. There's two men in the Bible that never died. One was Enoch, and the other was Elijah. They went straight to heaven. And God said, you're excellent. I want you up here. But also means honorable. And I believe that Gloria lived an honorable life before God. And as a result of that, it is precious. And so the Bible says precious. And the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It's valuable. It's costly. It's excellent. It's honorable. So why is death, the death of one of God's saints, precious in his sight? Well, first of all, I believe it's precious because we finally get to escape our temporary package for our eternity package. Amen. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So in other words, I've got to shed this package called my body. I've got to discard it as I would a wrapper on a gift and see what's on the inside. And so she has now put off the incorruption, and she has now put off the corruptible and put on the incorruption. She's put off the mortal and put on the immortality. But I believe it's precious also because we finally get to escape our temporary place for our eternal place. Not just our temporary package, but our temporary place for our eternal place. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says it this way, then we which are alive and remain should be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so we've got to get rid of this temporary package for our eternal package. Then we've got to get rid of this temporary place for the eternal place. There's a better place than planet Earth, amen? As good as Earth seems to be, there's a better place. I know kids will say, well, there's no Happy Meals in heaven. How do you know? You ain't been there yet, amen? There's no toys in heaven. How do you know? You haven't been there yet. Let me assure you, whatever it is you need, it'll be in heaven. It'll be in heaven. And so we get to escape the temporary package for the eternal package, and the temporary place for an eternal place. An unknown poet wrote this: where do our loved ones go after life's last goodbye? Is there a home beyond where they shall never die? To that fair land unknown, far from this earthly shore, God calls his loved ones home to live forevermore. They should be happy there, dwelling with him. And when he calls me, I believe I shall know him then, know them again. Amen. Hey, you know what? We will know our loved ones when we get to heaven. You say, preacher, how can you be assured of that? Well, if you know your Bible, the Bible talks about a place called the Mount of Transfiguration. There, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up there. And then something happened, and they saw two men with Jesus. And they knew that one man was Elijah, and they knew the other man was Moses. Say, preacher, how did they know? We'll know each other in heaven. We'll know. We'll know. We'll know our loved ones. Not only will we finally get to escape our temporary package for our eternal package and get to escape our temporary place for our eternal place, there's something else. It's precious because it's in the sight of the Lord. Do you know that God's been watching over you all your life? And that Gloria had the angels of God watching over her all her life? You know, we really won't understand until we get to heaven what God has protected us from by his angels of mercy. What God has averted in our lives until we get to heaven. One day we'll understand the things that we could have gotten involved in it. God said, no, I'm not going to let you get involved in that. Let me read to you this poem called Sometime We'll Understand. It says, not now, but in the coming years, it may be in a better land. We'll read the meaning of our tears, and there sometime we'll understand. We'll catch the broken threads again and finish what we here began. Heaven will the mysteries explain, and then, then we'll understand. God knows the way, he holds the key. He guides us with unerring hand. Sometimes with tearless eyes we'll see, yes, there, up there, we'll understand. I believe it's in heaven where God will show us all the things that could have happened in our life that he saved us from because his angels watched over us and protected us. I think in Genesis 16:13, it's stated best this way: thou, God, seest me. Thou, God, seest me. And that's how the person wrote about God's protective hand upon them. They said, God, you see me. See, friend, God saw Gloria all throughout her life, and he saw her in that parking lot. He saw that car. He saw when her head would hit. He saw when they would call the paramedics. He saw when she'd go to the hospital. He saw when her children would come. He saw when we'd all go into the room and see her lying there. He saw when we shed tears. He saw when he said, it's time for you to come home, my child. He saw. My friend, he sees right now. The only difference is she gets a bird's eye view because she's with the Lord. Not only is it precious, but it's precious because it's in the sight of the Lord. The angels have been sent by God watching over Gloria, as well as all the saved people. Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? That's speaking of the angels. From day one, Gloria never escaped God's watch care. God has dispatched his guarding angels to watch her as well as us. Matthew 18:10 says this, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. From day one, God gave a guarding angel over Gloria to watch over her, as he does to all his children. I believe also through danger, not just day one, but through danger, Gloria never escaped God's watch care. I'm sure many dangers were avoided by God's watchful care. It was said about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego this from Nebuchadnezzar, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies. What happened? The angel did that. God is watching over us as he watched over Gloria from day one through danger. Then through difficulty, I believe Gloria never escaped God's watch care. Why? Precious in the sight of the Lord. He sees them. Through difficulty, and challenges. Gloria had angels that stood by and handled her. It was already spoken of that she had some challenges, some physical challenges that she had from birth. And as a result of that, she had some difficulties in life. And I'm sure people weren't always as kind to her as she needed to be, as they needed to be to her. But Acts 12:11 says this way about Peter when Peter was in some difficulty. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord had sent his angel and had delivered me out of the hand of Herod." I'm sure there were many angels along Gloria's pathway. Knowing the challenges that she had, the difficulties that she faced, the angels averted some of the difficulties and some of the challenges that she could have maybe gotten into from some evil people. Why? Society is not kind to people that have challenges and difficulties and disabilities. And so God's angels have to watch over those who can't protect themselves at times. So I believe from day one, Gloria never escaped God's watch care. Through danger, she never escaped God's watch care. Through difficulty, she never escaped God's watch care. I believe he was there all the time watching over her. Well, not only is precious and precious in the sight of the Lord as he's watching over his loved ones, but I believe it's precious in the sight of the Lord, the death of his saints. It's still the death that he has ordained and orchestrated. You say, "Preacher, why would death be precious in the Lord's sight?" For the saint that belongs to Jesus, death is not an accident. It's an appointment, as you heard from Ray. Gloria had an appointment to keep February 21st, like you and I have someday. The one reason why death is so important is that this body that you house and that you hold, that I hold, can't get to heaven. This body's got to die. In order that the man or the woman inside can be released. And so death is precious in the sight of the Lord when it's his saint. That's what it says. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why? They belong to him. Hebrews 9:27 says, "As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." F.M. Lehman wrote this about there's no disappointment in heaven. There's no disappointment in heaven, no weariness, sorrow, or pain. No hearts that are bleeding and broken, no song with a minor refrain. There'll never be crape on the doorknobs, no funeral train in the sky, no graves on the hillsides of glory, for there the saints never die. I'm bound for that beautiful city my Lord has prepared for his own, where all the redeemed of all ages sing glory all around the throne. Sometimes I grow homesick for heaven and the glories I there shall behold. What a joy that will be when my Savior I see in that beautiful city of gold. Well, there is someone already there waiting for us. She's punched her ticket. She's got her reservation. She's gotten rid of this old package for the new eternal package. She's traded this place for a better place. She's in glory. From day one, the angels watched over her. Through danger, they watched her. Through difficulty, they watched over her. Why? Because precious in the sight of the Lord he sees is the death of his saints. I've got to exchange this body. When we die, we're released from this body. Do you understand that if Adam and Eve had not died, they would have been in an eternal separation from God? They had to die. Adam had to die. Eve had to die. Living in the state that they lived in the sinful body, they could not walk with God like they once had because of the sin that separated them. And so they had to die. And so you read about Adam and Eve. He lived or she lived and they lived for a time and then they died. Death is a needed thing. 1 Corinthians 15:50 says it this way, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit corruption." All right. "Neither does corruption inherit incorruption." Why is it precious, the sight of the Lord, the death of his saints? Well, it's not the death that is so precious, but it's the sin that's been pardoned as a result. Our sin brings death. And because of our sin, God could show himself mighty. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And I believe Gloria understood that. You know what? My sin has separated me from God, and although I've got some challenges and some difficulties in life, you know what? There's a way I can be with God. My sins can be forgiven. Our sin brings death. Romans 5:19 says it this way: "For as by one man disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." And that day that George began to talk to her, I believe Gloria sensed her need for Christ. Why? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And so our sin brings death, but I'm so glad that God didn't leave it there. I'm so glad that God said, "Precious in the sight of myself is the death of my saints." Why? Because not only does our sin bring death, but our Savior abolishes death. Hallelujah. And so we don't have to live a life bound by sin. We don't have to live a life separated from God. We don't have to live a life wondering. We can know, as the song said, that my sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. How far is it? It's forevermore separated. And so our sin does bring death. That's the sad news. The good news is our Savior abolishes death. 1 Corinthians 15:54 says, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 says, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Why? Because our Savior abolishes death. Fanny Crosby was blind. And she wrote this about safe in the arms of Jesus. "Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Hark, 'tis the voice of angels, born in a song to me, over the fields of glory, over the jasper sea. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe from the corroding care, safe from the world's temptation, sin cannot harm me there. Free from the blight of sorrow, free from my doubts and fears, only a few more trials, only a few more tears. Jesus, my heart's dear refuge, Jesus has died for me. Firm on the rock of ages, ever my trust shall be. Here let me wait with patience, wait till the night is o'er. Wait till I see the morning break on the golden shore. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly by my soul shall rest." That's written by a blind lady. But you know what? She's not blind anymore. She's in heaven. You know, there's no blind people in heaven. There's no deaf people in heaven. There's no people that have lame feet in heaven. There are no people with cleft palates in heaven. There are no people with any kind of defects or deformities in heaven. Everybody in heaven is perfect and pure because they've got a brand new body. But death brings the body. And so because it breaks that body, I get my new body. Why? Because my Savior abolishes death. Death has no more hold on Gloria anymore. There's no more a speech that's halted. There's no more walking that's hindered. There's no more problems on this earth. There's no more ridicule by anybody. There's no more any of that because she's in heaven with Jesus Christ, safe in his arms. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. If you've not been born again, your death will not be precious in God's sight, even though you are. And that would be tragic. But every death in the sight of the Lord is precious when it's one of his saints. It's not precious when someone that's not his saint dies. Why? There's a place of torment that sin has to be paid for. If you're here today and you're not born again, if Gloria could say one thing, she would say this: make sure your appointment reservations are in, and that Jesus Christ is your Savior. The only thing about that is you don't know when your appointment time comes. Gloria did not know February 21st she would get knocked over by a car and that would spiral her into the presence of God. She did not know that. If she'd known that, I'm sure she'd done some things. You don't know what's going to happen when you leave here today. I saw Gloria at one service. Next thing I know, I'm on the phone with someone saying that she is in the hospital. That caught me by total surprise. May I let you know something that didn't catch God by surprise at all? His arms are still stretched out. Jesus Christ is still waiting. He's saying, you know what? You don't know when your appointment time is, friend. And Gloria's already had an appointment scheduled with me, and she has made good on her reservations. And friend, it's your turn now. And I'm sure she's urging you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. She's urging you to be born again today. Some may have had near-death experiences, but near-death experiences only reminds us that the real appointment of death is coming. I've wrecked a car by running into a house. I nearly drowned. I was administered too much anesthetic and they thought I was going to die. But in each time, I lived. And each time, it let me see the brevity of my own life. And each time made me thankful that I had a second chance and a third chance to get saved. And guess what? I got saved. Amen. My appointment time's coming. I'm born again. I'll see Gloria and all the rest of my loved ones. My question is, will you see her too? You are precious in God's sight. Don't pass up his love. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. James 4:14 says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a time, a little time, and then vanisheth away. The Bible is still clear that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Friend, do what Gloria did. Make Jesus Christ your priority. Make him the appointment that you've got to schedule and meet next. Say, preacher, but I don't think I need Jesus. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And so you've got an appointment with death because of your sin and my sin. But the Bible says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So although you've got an appointment with death and the wages of sin is death, Jesus has abolished death and you don't have to have that appointment that way. You can have the same type of appointment that Gloria had, that when the time comes, you can say, Lord, here I come. Take me home. Here I come. My debt's been paid. It's been laid at the cross. It's at the foot of the cross. The blood's been shed. I've claimed the penalty. I've claimed the price. And Jesus, you died for me. And I'm on my way to heaven. See, Gloria can praise God now that she made that appointment. You know, the Bible says that there's only two places that we can go. Say, preacher, I thought purgatory was a place. No. It's not. There's heaven and there's the other place. The place that we very rarely like to talk about, a place called hell. You know, ironically, the Bible said that the lake of fire was made and created for the devil and his angels, never for us. But that's where we have to go if we don't pay for our sins through Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you want to be ready for your appointment, let me read you a prayer that you can pray. Now, mind you, salvation is not in a prayer. Salvation is in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. The prayer is just a way to get you into the presence of God. But your heart has to line up with God's heart in agreement to say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And Lord, as a sinner, I know I deserve death and hell. But Lord, as a sinner in deserving of death and hell, Lord, I know Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe he was buried and rose again on the third day for my sins. And Lord, I repent of my sins. That means I turn from my sin. I turn to Jesus Christ so I can be saved. A sample prayer would read something like this. Dear God, I know I have sinned by breaking your laws. I now repent and turn to you and ask your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died for my sins, was buried and rose again the third day for me. I want to be born again and receive new life in Jesus. I will follow you, Jesus, as my Lord and obey you in all that I do. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. In just a moment, I'm going to read that prayer again. I'm going to ask you, if you really mean business with God and you see yourself as a sinner like Gloria did, and you see that your sins are going to cause you to go to a place called hell. And if you really don't want to go there, but you want to take Jesus Christ up on his offer of salvation, that his death, his burial, and his resurrection was for you, then repenting of your sin, that means turning from your sin and turning to Jesus Christ, I want you to believe on him by praying this prayer if you want to be saved. Now, again, it's not the prayer that saves you. It's your faith in the person of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for your sins, because that should have been you. You should have hung there, but Jesus died so that you don't have to. And if you really want to get saved and accept Christ, I'm going to give you that chance right now. Why? Because your appointment is coming. Gloria already did it years ago, but you get a chance today. By my calendar, it's February 28th, 2016. That's a good day to get saved. Very good day to get saved. So I want everybody to bow their heads. And I'm going to read this prayer again. If you really want to receive Christ as your Savior, I want you to repeat after me. And again, it's not the prayer that saves you. It's your position of your heart believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, again, if you want to be saved, you don't want to go to hell, you want to go to heaven. Now, by the way, this is not an escape ticket either. This is a belief on Christ. The prayer reads as such. Dear God, and you can just repeat after me in your own heart. You don't have to say it audibly in your own heart. Dear God, I know I have sinned by breaking your laws. I now repent and turn to you and ask your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again the third day for me. I want to be born again and receive new life in Jesus. I will follow you, Jesus, as my Lord, and obey you in all that I do. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you just prayed that prayer sincerely from your heart, wanting to be born again, I want you to do something. I just want you to slip your hand up so I can see it. I want to acknowledge it, and then you can put it right back down. If you just prayed that prayer, I want you to slip your hand up high where I can see it. Amen. Amen. I see two. I see four. Amen. I see five. I see six. I see seven. Is there someone else? You just prayed that prayer sincerely. Okay, you may put those hands down. I see seven hands. If you just sincerely prayed, every head still bowed, every eye still closed. If you just sincerely prayed that prayer, wanting to be saved from hell with all of your mind, all your heart. If you meant business with God, I want to help you grow as a Christian. Would you please see me after the service? And I want you to fill out a decision card so I can send you some mail, something in the mail to help you grow as a Christian. This will be information that will help you get your new life started in Christ. But you've got to approach me and say, preacher, can I get one of those cards to get that information from you? And if you really meant business, seek me out afterwards and say, can I get that decision card? And can I get that information from you? Because I want to grow as a Christian. I'm going to have a closing word of prayer. Father, in heaven, thank you for being a sovereign God. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord, that you have called Gloria, our loved one and friend, to be with you in a better place. Lord, although we thank you for the privilege of knowing her this side of eternity, we will be saddened on this side of eternity. Lord, we thank you for allowing her to impact our lives. And we pray for your grace through these difficult times. Lord, we're grateful for your love. Lord, we thank you for you. And Lord, we thank you for sending heaven's best, Jesus Christ, to be our great shepherd and savior for our wandering hearts and lives. Thank you, Lord, that you're preparing a place for us all, like you've done for Gloria. And for all that will trust you, repenting of sin. Lord, if these seven today are serious, then that means them as well. Lord, you said precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Lord, you're worthy of our faith, our trust, and our confidence. Lord, we ask for your continued strength, continued support in the days ahead for the family, continued perspective and focus for the friends alike. Lord, and the continued purpose in life that we need to have as we reflect upon glorious life, but continue to live life here on earth. Lord, bless the time of refreshments that we'll have following this with friends, with family. Lord, as we partake of the next several moments together and days and hours, Lord, we don't know what's going to happen. One thing we know is that glorious fate has already been secured and sealed. Lord, for those hanging in the balance today need to make a decision for Christ, I pray they'll do as Gloria did and understand that one day when we talk about them, we'll be able to say precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We've put off the old body for the eternal body. We've put off the old place for the new place. We've had you watching over us all of our life from day one through dangers, through difficulties, and into death. Now, Lord, you've ushered our loved one into glory like you do all the saints of God. Lord, thank you for your watch care over us. Thank you for this time. Thank you for these many people that have gathered here today to be an encouragement and to be a blessing to the Miller family. Lord, I pray now that you would take each one, George, Vaughn, Ray, Pam, their spouses, their children, Lord, her husband, wrap them up in your protective, loving arms of care. Minister to each one the way they need to be ministered to. Comfort their heart the way their heart needs to be comforted. Speak to them like only you can speak to them. Lord, most of all, encourage and carry them like only you can. Lord, for these that prayed a prayer or trusting you as Savior today, help them to grow now in Christ. Bless the refreshment time that we will have, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.